Last time we went through the bulk of Simen Shin Mem Hei, along with Simen Shin Samach Dalet, which spoke about Rishus HaRabim. I just wanted to speak about some leftovers from Shin Mem Hei before we move on to the additional Simonim. We had spoken about the topic of Chorei Rishus HaYachid and Chorei Carmelis and Chorei Rishus HaRabim. So we had alluded to the following case. I just want to expand upon it a little bit. That's a surprising application to bridges. If this is a non-area view, a side view of a house, so if it would be a straight roof without any awnings jutting out, so then we would imaginarily extend the walls here and here, and we would declare the roof to be a Rishus HaYachid by virtue of the walls coming up, because the mechitzos are considered mechitzos hanikaros, because someone standing on the roof will be able to see the mechitza here, someone standing on the roof will be able to see the mechitza here, so it extends up. If the roof juts out, so in that case, the Mechaber writes that the roof then is going to have a halacha of a carmelis, unless there's a window or stairway that goes up to the roof, in which case the roof will have halacha Rishus HaYachid by virtue of the fact that it becomes Chorei Rishus HaYachid.
I thought it has to be a slanted roof, because if it's it comes out four tefachim, then you say gudasik with the sides there, because that's straight.
Well, I mean, p'tikra?
Yeah.
Well, p'tikra would only be if you have two walls that are adjacent to each other, you just have a roof coming out without walls at all, down below here, and just the roof jutting out won't get you
p'tikra, no.
We'll get the details of p'tikra later, but you need two walls and a roof on top of that, at least two. If not three, it's my boss and Rambam.
Right, but how many walls do you have there?
Well, you only have one. There's a lot of buildings. There are no side walls coming.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a stairway to the roof, like from inside?
Right. Right.
Okay.
So, this machaber is somewhat difficult to understand at first, because even if there were no stairs or windows going onto the roof, so I understand that the roof can't be a Rishus HaYachid by virtue of the walls imaginarily going up, because these are mechitzos she'enam nikaros, because here I can't see those walls. I have to, the walls are over here, so if I'm over here, I have to be pretty long to be able to stretch my neck to see them. So they're called mechitzos she'enam nikaros, and therefore they don't extend up. Well, we have to elaborate on this in terms of counting subway walls for on top of the subway. It doesn't work because with respect to the street on top, the subway walls down below are not nicker. So we understand why this can't be a Rishus HaYachid, because these walls cannot extend up. They're blocked, if you will, by the roof. But why should it be a carmelis? After all, a standard building is more than 10 tefachim tall, so it should be a makom tor. It's not a Rishus HaYachid because it doesn't have walls, but it's above 10 tefachim, and that's one of the rules we learned, that above 10 tefachim is always a makom tor, unless it's above 10 tefachim in the airspace of a Rishus HaYachid, so then it becomes all part of the Rishus HaYachid, which is Vakas Vola Adler Akiya. But here, the Rishus HaYachid walls are broken by the roof, so it should just be a carmelis. It's 10 tefachim above in the air. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, based on Mechaber's later that have a dispute about this, about what is the halacha concerning an area that is 10 tefachim higher than the ground, but it in and of itself has a 4x4 tefach area. The case we discussed originally of a makom tor is, let's say you have a street, and so 10 tefachim above the street, but 10 tefachim above that becomes a makom tor. But let's say in a practical not coming, let's say you had a pole that went up from the street, let's say a lamppost. So on top of that lamppost would be a makom tor, because it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground. But if you have a if you have a lamppost on top of the lamppost, is an area that's 4x4 tefachim, It's 4 by Tfachim wide. I don't know if I'm drawing the diagram nicely here, but let's try to draw it at a greater angle. On top of a lamppost, I have a 4 by 4 tefach piece of wood, a flat piece of wood.
So why isn't it
Because no machitos. Okay. In order to have a shisiyach, it's not enough to be 10 tefach above the ground, it has to have machitos.
Right.
So, it took me a very long time to figure it out. Okay, I finally got it right. So this is 4 by 4 tefach and flat piece of wood. So on the one hand, it's makom tor because it's 10 tefach above the ground. But on the other hand, it seems to match the dimensions of a karmus. Because the karmus pointed out, if a place is 4 by 4 tefach, that doesn't have 10 tefach to all walls. It's a makom, right? In the language we used last week, it's a makom. And in this case, it's 4 by 4 by 0, because it's just, it doesn't go up. So the question is, where do you count the 10 tefach for? Do you count it from solid earth? Or do you count it from the 4 by 4 tefach area itself? Does that create, in the language of Rosh Hashanah, a new ground level? So that's the machlokas of Rishonim, whether you have a 4 by 4 area that is suspended more than 10 tefachim above solid ground, but there aren't walls around it. So does that have a lock of a mokam tour because it's 10 tefachim above solid ground? Or does that have a lock of a karmelist because the ground is started anew, it's a new ground level, and therefore it has a lock of a karmelist because it's 4 by 4 by 0? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that this machaber is going according to the Deah HaMachmeres here, and that since this area of the rooftop is not a Rishas Yachid because the roofs are jutting out to prevent the walls from they can make the walls of the building itself into Mechitza Sheinei Mikaros, and it's 4 by 4 Tzvachim wide, and the fact that it's 10 Tzvachim above the ground, the solid ground, doesn't concern us because it's not 10 Tzvachim above itself, it's 0 Tzvachim above itself, so it has a lot of a karmus. But the Mishnah Berurah notes that not all Rishonim agree to that. The many Rishonim held that the 10 tefachim of Makom Tor is measured from solid ground, and therefore in this case this would be a Makom Tor, and in the case of the roof would also be a Makom Tor. So the Mishnah Berurah notes that the Gra, I think, wants to pass him like the Deah HaMechila, the leaning position, and the Mechaber himself seems to indicate that way elsewhere. But here the Mechaber is Machmir. So La Halacha remains somewhat of an open question. Which position is followed, whether a 4 by 4 tefach area that is 10 tefachim above solid ground, but it's not 10 tefachim above its own ground level, whether that's halacha of a karmas or makom tor. And here in Sinan Shemim Hei, the Mechaber is so saying that it has halacha of a karmas. So the Be'er Halacha here notes a discussion as to how big the roof has to be. So simply speaking, I think he quotes the Prima Gadim. But simply speaking, this is the position of the Chazon Ish, that really the roof should have to jut out even a mashu in order to ruin the machitzos from being bolate all the way up. Even if it juts out a little bit, it should ruin it. I think the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the field of bolate agag mashu was also called agag betiltel because it becomes einu nikur. However, there is a position of Tosfos that in order for this area to be declared to be a karmelis, the walls have to jut out full 4 tefach. Where does that come from? Where does 4 tefach come from? Memanafshach, if you hold that there is a makom tor, so it should be a makom tor regardless of how much it's jutting out. And if it's a karmelis, because it's a mechitza she'ein any keres, so it should be a mechitza she'ein any keres as long as it's not flush with the roof. The minute you have a roof jutting out, so that should make it into a mechitza she'ein any keres. So Tosis explains the Shita as follows, that Tosis also goes with that approach, that a 4x4 area that is hanging suspended in midair is also a karmelis. But Tosis reasons as follows. This area on top of the house, that should be a Rishus HaYachid. The area directly on top of the house should be Rishis Yachid from here till there. These two juttings out, these should be declared to be a karmelis because they're 4x4x0. But since this Rishis Yachid is open into this karmelis and to this karmelis, so it's Nifrat Tomot Ma'aserlo, And therefore, this Mishachid, this Mishasiyachid, becomes also Bitzilful. So, for all practical purposes, it becomes a karmless, meaning something it's also Bitzilful. To be more precise, it becomes also Bitzilful because of Nifrat Tumakam Asala. But a question is, why is Tausus need such fancy footwork here? If you say Tumakam Tor, Tumakam Tor, if you say there's a problem of Mechita Sheinei Keres, and so the whole thing should be a karmless. How does Tausus say that this is the Rishis HaYachid, and it's open to a karmless and it becomes usher because of Nifat Samachim Aslo? How is this a Rishis HaYachid? If there are walls jutting out over the, if there are rooftop, jutting out over the walls, so the walls can't jut out. So you have an area that's not surrounded by walls at all. In order to be Rishis HaYachid, it has to be surrounded by walls. So that's something that the Chazon Ish, I think, raises on this Mishnah Berurah. Very handy, the new Mishnah Berurahs have most of the Maror Makomos that Rishach to give on the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurahs in the back. So the Ramosha suggests, as we mentioned briefly last week, that Ritos has a unique shita about Rishis HaYachid, that it doesn't always need Mechitzos. To point it out, you could have Rishis HaYachid with a gather, a charitz, and a tail, but Tosa seems to learn that I hope I'm doing justice to Moshe. I didn't see it this time around, but I think this is what he says. There certainly are sheets in Rishonim like this, and I think Moshe says this is what Tosaf holds. If you have a tail, the Tosaf learns that it's not only a Rishos Yachid because the walls go up. Even if the walls wouldn't go up, it's a Rishos Yachid by virtue of the fact that it's a Mokam that's Dalet al Dalet, that's Mugba, by walls that are Yutzfachim. But even if it in and of itself does not have mechitzos around it. If you have a man standing on this tail, but he is not surrounded by walls. So Tosus says, so what? But he's on an area that is lifted up from the ground by walls that are yutzvachim, and it's dalet al dalet. So plugging it in here, so it fits very nicely. So this area is Rosh Hashanah by virtue of the fact that it's mugba dalet tvachim, that's a dalet al dalet, and it's elevated by walls that are yutzvachim. And the only reason it becomes usher is because it's nifras to the karmas. So, after Tosfos is Miyashiv, that's the pshat in that Tosfos. So then he goes on to discuss at length, and I just discuss it very briefly. It's not a main focus in terms of the bridges in Manhattan, which is one of the main objections to the air of Manhattan, even if there would be a solid wall around all of Manhattan. But there are bridges that pose a nifras al-makama asalo shayla. So Moshe says as follows. He says that if you hold like those Rishonim, that a Mokam Tur is any area that's Yutzvachim above the ground, even if it in of itself is 4x4 Tzvachim, but you measure from solid ground. So then the George Washington Bridge and the Brooklyn Bridge and all the other bridges are Mokamos Petur. There's Pile Ploim. It says there could be millions of people on it every single day, but they're Mokamos Petur because they're 10 Tzvachim above the ground. They could possibly be Rosh Hashiyachid if you have walls around them. Usually you don't. The two ends of the bridges are certainly open. So even if you have walls on the side, you only have two walls. You don't have three, and so they don't have four. But the whole bridge could be a Malkam Tor. So if it's a Malkam Tor, so Manhattan is not Nifrat's the Malkam Asalo, it's Nifrat's the Malkam Tor. That's a Malkam Mutterlo. But if you go with the approach, the way the Machaber here is so saying, that a Malkam that's 4x4, that's elevated 10 Tzvachim above the ground without walls, is has halacha of a karmelis, so then you have yourself a problem of a nifras makom aslo. So then he has a whole discussion how we should be machri on that, and he also brings up the sheet of Tosus, so that it should be relevant also la halacha. So if you look up the tshuva, that's the basic framework in which he discusses. Very fascinating application of, we discussed the abstract case of a pole with a little platform on top. The Ramosha says that's the whole bridge. You could have a massive bridge that's millions of people on it that maybe has a lach of a makam tour based on those Rishonim who say that a yud tvachim is measured from the ground. So that remains an open question, lahalacha, and Ramosha, for several reasons, is machri al-chumra on the issue of the Eiv of Manhattan. The bridge issue was only one of them. But that was a concern, that it was nifras to a karmless. There was a question?
Yeah. Isn't that the pashtus of the Machaber that he says there, that even if it's below 10, he doesn't say it requires walls. He doesn't say that. He says any place that's higher than 3, it goes up to 9, and it's 4x4.
Well, that would be a karmelis.
That would be a karmelis.
Right.
He never mentions you have to have 10 fucking high walls.
Wait, but you're talking about a karmelis now. We're talking...
Yeah, I was talking about a karmelis.
So... So again, which point are you addressing? The point that we mentioned, the name of Tosfos, or the Machlokis, whether or not a platform that's 4x4 that elevates spend in the midair, whether that has a halacha of a karmus. Which issue
is
you?
The
first one.
Yeah.
Oh, well Tosfos assumes that the roof on top of the building has a halacha of Rishis HaYachid. If not for the fact that it would be nifrat to the karmelis of on the sides, right, it would have been a regular reshus yachid, even though it's mechitza shein and ikaros. That you don't see anywhere in the. Where do you see that in the machaber?
Right, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the first point that I was pointing.
Okay. All right. I spoke to Rav Schechter about this the following application that he himself had been mitzayin. It's a somewhat of a complicated simen, the simen Shin Samach, which I subsequently took off the Maror Makomos because of its immense complexity. And it's very, very not halacha l'maisa. But the reason I had originally put it on is to extract that one Shar HaTzion that Rav Schechter wanted to refer to. So since I took it off the Maror Makomos, I briefly allude to it, some food for thought. And that is the issue of Nifratz l'Nifratz. You're not getting involved in the complexity of this case. Usually I used to review that sim and I always got stuck, and then I had to correct it the next chabura. So we're not even going to discuss that sim, so you don't have to correct yourself. So just give a simple case. Let's say I have a house and I have an area in this large courtyard A, and then there's a house B that has an area in the courtyard B, and then there's a house C that has an area in the courtyard C. But these lines in between the areas are just there for convenience. They're not walls. It's a totally enclosed yard on all four and all three and all four sides. But A owns one third, B owns the other third, and C owns the other third. They might let each other walk on each other's property, but there's a clear ownership. So it's not a chaser hamishutaf. It's a chaser that's owned by A, B, and C separately. So, in order to be able to carry from the homes into the chatzer, you have to make an eruv. A, B, and C have to mishatek all together. So let's say A makes an eruv with B, and that's it. And C is out of the eruv. So technically, A should be able to carry into area A and B should be able to carry into area B and A, but not into C, because that's out of the eruv. The eruv meaning the matzis, not the mechita around it. So the fact that it's a Rishis HaYachid that we already have, but we don't have them all combined together. But for a technicality, nobody can carry anywhere in the Chatzer because B is Nifratz into C. There's no wall in between. So since B could enter into an area that's usher to carry in without having to cross over Mechitzos, that's where Rav Schechter constantly stressed the definition of Nifratz HaMakom Asavo. If you're jutting an area that you can get into without crossing over Mechitzos, that's why a bridge is a problem, because it starts in the city and you can get onto the bridge without having to cross over Mechitzos. Normally, let's say you have a mulberry that's open into a street, and then you have, let's say, I'll make it simple, you have a Tzuras HaPesach. So even though you can get through the Tzuras HaPesach into the street, it's not called Nifrat Samachim Asavo because I have to cross through a mechitza in order to get to the street, namely the Tzuras HaPesach. There's a lot of mechitza. But since over here, B could go into area C without having to cross over mechitza, because again, these lines are not mechitza, so they're just there to just sort of show a property line. So B is Nifrat into C, so B cannot carry into B because it's Nifrat Samachim Asavo. Not only is that true, but A is also usher to carry even into A, because A is nifratz into B, B is nifratz into C, even though B is a mokam amutulo. But B becomes a mokam ha'asulo because it's nifratz into C, so then it cascades. So that's a shar hatzion that quotes that nifratz or nifratz is also a problem, and the context in which he quotes it is a very complicated case of shayoros that are resting in a bika, with situations of certain walls that work only under certain circumstances, but when you put it all together, you could have such a situation where you have a nifratz on nifratz. So I asked Rav Schechter, how come Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was so convinced that if Manhattan was nifratz into a bridge, assuming it's a makom tur, that's a 2 days, whether the bridge is a makom tur or a karmelis. So let's say it is a makom tur, but that bridge then goes to Williamsburg, that goes to Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's a Rishis HaRabim, or at least a karmelis. So why isn't the bridge a case of a nifratz on nifratz? So then Manhattan should be also because of that. So He didn't say it was wrong. Let's put it that way. So there's some food for thought that even that Lekula Ramosha, the base in the Shaar Tzion, that it might be a problem with Nifat to Nifat. Okay, but the rest of the details of Shin Samach we took off the Chomer this time around, so we'll leave that for now.
Question?
Yes.
The previous case about the Tosfot with the two different rooftops, Tosfot is saying it's a Rishon Yachid even if
technically it should have been.
It's a protrusion or if it's flush, the case that they're talking about?
The case, no, if it's flush, then it's for sure a Rishon Yachid.
Okay.
With the protrusion, so Tosfot says that bottom line, you can't carry on the roof. But unlike the other Rishonim who say you can't carry on the roof because the whole thing's a carmelis, Tosfot says that technically the part that's right on top of the rooftop, right on top of the building, the roof that's right on top of the building should have been a Rishon Yachid. But the eaves that go out, the parts of the roof that jut out, those are carmelis, carmelios. And then the area that should have been Rosh Hashanah is nifrats into the carmelis, so then the Rosh Hashanah becomes us a bit tiltful as well. That's the way Tosis understands that position. It boils down to the same nafkamin in terms of carrying on the roof,
right.
But for a whole different position, for a whole different reason. So that Tosis, the Be'er Halacha already raises his...
So Nikaros is not an issue for them.
I'm sorry?
Their rationale is not Nikarot, it's what you just explained.
Right, right.
Okay.
So that's what they ask. Why should that be? It should never be Rosh Hashanah to start out with, because Mechish and Nikaros, that's what Moshe points out. Tosis had a whole new sheet about the definition of a Rosh Hashanah on top of a tail. Yes?
Yeah, so you're referring to the diagrams that we had before with Gadudim on the middle and the two narrow ones coming inside. You're saying that's similar to that? We had in the Mishnah Brewer?
Yeah, you're referring to Shin Samach.
Yeah,
it was that kind of case, right?
That's the same case.
That's the case of Nifrats on Nifrats, right?
Okay.
But it's a very complicated case because everything's backwards there. And that simon, what normally serves as a het there, serves as an isser.
Right.
So that's why it's very. I always got stuck with that simon. But the concept is the same.
So there's a middle guy can't go to either side.
Something like that, right?
Oh,
right. I don't remember myself because I didn't go through it this year.
I thought maybe two could combine because the way the mashma is there is that two could combine but three can't, so they can't.
Right.
Have this
I system. Can go through with you privately. I'm going to get lost the same way. So that's why I chose a very simple case of with Erev Chatzeris, just to quote the concept of Nifrat L'Nifrat. Okay. Let's now turn to a footnote on Carmelis, which was something that was developed a bit at the end of the shir, and we'll mention the famous Drashmul that was alluded to twice by Rosh Hechter Shlita, that it's important to know the Drashmul. So if you haven't seen in the Be'er Halacha, we'll go through the Drashmul. That's fair game for the Bechina. it's on this Chomer. Okay, so as Rosh Hechter noted, I think early on in the Chaburis, the Chachamim declared a wide open area, whether it's Muk of Mechitzis or not, that's irrelevant for these purposes. Even if it is Muk of Mechitzis, but it's a wide area, wider than the Chatzar HaMishkan. The Chatzar HaMishkan was 100 Amos by 50 Amos, so 5,000 square Amos. So an area that's more than 5,000 square Amos, if you want to square it off, so that's why it's 71 and change. More than a base of Siam, right? That's the phrase, more than a base of Siam. So even if it's Muk of Mechitzos, so it's declared to be an honorary karmelis. It's a makom that technically should have been Rosh Hashanah by the dimensions of its walls, but nonetheless it's called the karmelis because since people don't live there, a typical karpif, literally, is usually a storage area. So people don't live there, they don't really walk there. So therefore, it's similar enough to a midbar, to a yam, to other classic karmelios, so the chum will go there on that. Not only will they gozer on that lechumra, but they will gozer on that to some extent even lekula, that they allowed you to carry from a carmelis into the karpif that the Shulchan Aruch mentions elsewhere. I don't remember which simon, but I think it's also on the Maram Kamos. You can carry from a carmelis into a karpif provided you stay within Dalet Amos. The rule is you're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos in a carmelis, just like you're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos in a Shus Rabin. So you're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos in a karpif, and you're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos in a carmelis. So theoretically, it should have been usher to carry from a carmelis into a karpif, even a mashu, because you're carrying from a mokum tur min haTorah to a rishas yachid min haTorah. But here the chachamim lo chilku b'divrehem, they declared the karpif to be a carmelis even lakula with respect to that halacha, that they view it as carrying from a carmelis to a carmelis. So as long as you're within dalet amis, you're okay. And they did that to be machazek their chumrah, because otherwise people would be able if you'd say it would be yotzer to carry, so they say, why can't we carry? Ah, so it's just a yachid, so they would carry within the carpet. Okay. So that said, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Nun Ches is two main topics that I wanted to address. Number one, how to correct an area to make it mutter betiltel if it starts out as a karpif. Let me backtrack. Let's do it in three steps. Number one, when does an area become asa betiltel because it's a karpif in terms of dimensions? Number two, what kinds of areas are karpifos? And number three, how do you fix a karpif? So let's do those in order, not necessarily in the order of the sifim, but hopefully following a logical progression. So the first topic is, what are the dimensions of a karpif in order to pose a problem? So we mentioned already earlier that more than base asayim serves as a problem. But it gets more complicated in a case. So where you have an enclosed area that's a storage house, a storage area that's more than a base asayim surrounded by a wall. So that's simple. But more often you have a karpif that's embedded within a city or within a yard. So the question is, how does that affect the city? So here the Shulchan Aruch spells it out very clearly that there are two ways that it could affect the city, and they're distinct, and they also have nafkaminas la'alacha in terms of how to fix it. If you have a large city that's mukaf machito, let's make it simple, that walls around it, and in this area you have this is an aerial view, you have an area that's a carpet, and it's not surrounded by walls. These are not, let me draw it in dotted lines. It's because there are no walls here, it's just an area that's whatever, let's say it's 60 by 100, so it certainly has the dimensions of 5,000 square miles. So what would be an example, just for argument's sake, let's say an example, this is a farm area, so it's planted with crops, so people don't walk through it.
Is it walled, the city?
Not, the city's walled, but not the carpet.
Okay.
So this is one way that the carpet could pose a problem. Why? Because the carpet is called lo hukaf ledira because of itself, so it ruins the walls with respect to itself, because these walls were put up in order to live in. They were put up in order that the houses should be there. But with respect to itself, these walls are not ledira, so then the rest of the city becomes off there because it's nifrats into the carpet.
Isn't that the Chacham Svi's true?
The Chacham Svi's got a drash. Well, yeah, we'll get to that kula. But before the kula, first the Shiur Sadin, what it appear from the Gemara. that this carpet becomes usher by itself, so you couldn't carry here. And since you can't carry here, the city becomes usher because it goes into it. That's one way of it becoming usher. The other way of becoming usher, maybe more deadly, shall we say, if the whole town, let's say, the whole town is a very skinny town, the whole town is 60 by 100. And then you have a little chunk of the town, again, not surrounded by walls, you have a little chunk of the town where you have homes. But it's only a minority of the town. The Karpif is in the Karpif area, the area that's farmland, is the majority of the town. It and of itself does not have a makom that's more than a base of sign. Let's say this area here, outside of this box, the smaller area is, let's say it's 50 by 50, just for, well, let's say 50 by 75, for argument's sake. So it doesn't have the dimensions of 5,000 square amas. But since it's a majority of the town, it swallows up the minority, and the whole thing together is more than a base of science, and then the whole town is declared to be a karpif shlohuk for the year. So those are two separate ways, all spelled out in the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah, two ways that a karpif could mess up your city, either by becoming more than a base of sayim, even if it in and of itself is not, but together with the minority of the houses there, so that becomes a problem, or even if it's a minority of the city, but if it starts out as more than a base of sayim, so then the city becomes nifras into it, and therefore the city becomes aser, not because of the halach of karpif directly, but because of nifras amakam aslo. Yes?
In the second case, the town has to be walled
still? Yeah, because if there are no walls, there's nothing to talk about. You can't carry because everything is caramelous because no walls. So if someone wants their walls, and I get them, then there's what to talk about. Okay, so there is a sif in the Shulchan Aruch that's not on the Chomer, but I just want to mention it to you because it's halacha lemaisa, and I would like to find out how we paskin on this. Many people have very little patches in their yard, which are neither majority of the yard, nor are they more than a base sign. So it's not going to create disaster. It's not going to ruin everything. But maybe with respect to itself, it's still called a makom shalohuka fadira. And maybe if a ball falls in there, or your sefer falls in there, you can't take it out. So that's, the Mechaber says, that's right. That you can't carry from your house anything into a small cabbage patch in your yard, even though it's not going to mess up anything else. But with respect to itself, it's a makom asur b'total. And you can't carry into it, nor from it, into your house. So that's a pretty big chumrah. I mean, I guess we're not walking in the cabbage patches too much, but it's an afkamina if a ball falls in or something slips in. And the Mishnah Berurah points out that many Rishonim are making on that totally, that it's, you can only begin to discuss karpa if it's at least a base of science. Maybe you could have cases where it's at least exactly a base of science, so then there's what to talk about. Less than a base of science is nothing. But the Torah holds not that way. And the Mechaber quotes the Torah. So I throw it out as food for thought to look into that halacha lemaisa, how we paskin on that. That was in Se'if Yud, which happily is not on the Maram Komos. Yeah.
I thought that the comment says it applies to Chatzar also, the same criteria, so would this not be considered a Chatzar?
Yeah, but I was giving a case where you have a little cabbage patch, which is neither a majority of your Chatzar,
okay,
nor is it more than a base of sign,
fine,
which is a typical case.
Okay.
But you are right that a Chatzar would have the same problems we discussed before. But in terms of the more than a base of sayim, and then the chatzah would be nifrat into it. I was talking about a little tomato patch that's 5x5 amos.
Okay.
And what's the halacha concerning carrying into that tomato patch or out of that tomato patch? So that's discussed in Sif Yud. And the Mishnah Berurah has certain coolness there, but he's not prepared to just be matur lagamri. So that's what I throw out as food for research to see how we rule on that lemaisa. It sounds like it should be awesome. Yes.
Why in that case isn't there a problem with
nifrats? Right. So the Mishnah Berurah raises that, and he says there are some who do apply nifrats here, but that's what he writes, that since the whole thing's a chumah to start out with, so we're not going to apply nifrats. I don't really know how that works. You're right. Once you say it's awesome, it should be awesome. Okay. So that's in terms of the basic way a karpif ruins things. So here, the Dvar Shmuel is relevant. The Be'er Halacha on page 424 in the standard editions, Avalim Nizra on Se'if Tes, quotes the Dvar Shmuel. That was a little research on this. I found the Dvar Shmuel in the library. Sorry, it wasn't reprinted, I don't think. It's a difficult print to read. So he is writing a tshuva to Alexandria. I don't know whether that's Alexandria or Mitzrayim, and they had a situation of the case was they happened to have a wall around the city, and they had homes all over the place, and there was an area in the city which in the content of the tshuva points out was primarily used for troop maneuvers, which in and of itself would be fine because that would be called part of the dira, the protection of the city. But when troops were had a day off, they were maneuvering elsewhere, so they used to plant things here. But the Dvar Shmuel was concerned about the problem of the carpet. I think it was more than a base of science, so the problem was the city was nifrat into it. But the Dvar Shmuel quotes a few coolest, and I'm only going to quote the one that the Chacham Tzvi likes. Chacham Tzvi also quotes the Tshuva, and he originally said it's wrong, but then he says maybe we can rely on it. So two coolest he has, the Chacham Tzvi thinks just doesn't totally incorrect. But the one that he says maybe has had merit is that. Let me just backtrack a bit to explain it a little better. The classic case of a karpus is where you have walls that were made specifically for the purpose of a storage house. But the problem is that sometimes you'll have, let's say I make those walls for the purpose of living there. So that's hukah for dira. So I shouldn't have a lach of a carpet. But in that area that I'm supposed to live in, I have either a carpet that's more than a base of sayim, or it's a majority of the city. So that's going to cause a problem, because with respect to itself, it's not hukah for dira, and then it might mess up the rest of the city too. So as Dvar Shmuel says, that these walls, this large city, that was made for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homes. So these walls are very dira-oriented. So you're going to tell me that this little
relative cabbage patch, even though it's more than a basis sign, more than a basis sign, but relative to the whole city, that this little patch should succeed in being mevatel these walls that are primarily built for the city, for hundreds and hundreds of homes. So that, he says, maybe that's the kula. I think he notes that the Shoel had suggested that, and the Dvar Shmuel writes, and it probably has merit. So he's prepared to be makel if many Mori Hara will be masking for him. It's interesting.
That the
majority of the, and the fact that there's so many homes here, so that's going to make that those walls into Hukah Fladira, regardless of any kind of carpet you're going to be able to come
even
up with.
The carpet itself is a basis sign.
Right, more than a basis sign. Right. So that's the Kula Dvar Shmuel as I understood it from the text itself. The Mishnah Berurah does not make it sound quite that way. He seems to focus on the fact that it's a wall. He says it can't be mevatel a choma, as if it could be mevatel a chain link fence or it can be mevatel a picket fence. The Mishnah doesn't spell that out. It just says it can't be mevatel a choma. So I thought what the Mishnah meant is what I thought the Dvar Shmuel says. A choma is built for protection of hundreds and hundreds of cities, of homes. It doesn't matter how thick the wall is. If you put a chain link fence around the whole city, which is there in order to protect all the hundreds and hundreds of homes, I think the same sort would apply. I don't think it's halacha of chom as opposed to fence. So that's the cooler is Dvar Shmuel, which apparently is of course a very relevant lemaisa, because most Erevin would have that cooler. Let me backtrack on that. A city that has fences around it certainly would have that cooler. And it was applied very broadly to many cities, apparently, in Europe. I'm judging from previous chaburis, not my own knowledge, that Rav Shechter mentioned this in the past. And they relied on the Dvar Shmuel, and he pointed out that in certain cases, when there were areas that there were either farmland or gardens that people wouldn't walk on, so he answered to certain Rabbanim who asked him whether they have to be machmir against the Dvar Shmuel, because the simple reading of the Gemara would be not that way. So he passed on that based on, he mentioned once, which town of Europe the Baal Batim came from. That if they're descendants of those who are always make like the Dvar Shmuel, because there was very common kula in Europe, so he was prepared to be lenient for them. But if it's people who are more Mishnah Berurah Yidden, as he indicated in this set of Chaburis too, so then it'd probably be Kedai to be Machmir, because really make a Redin, it should be Aser. And the Be'er Halacha just points out that although the Dvar Shmuel doesn't phrase it this way, but the kula of the Dvar Shmuel is similar to the kula that the Rosh suggests as a possibility. The Rosh suggests that maybe the Chumrah of Karpif only applies to a farm, a very rural area, but not to a chotzer, not to a privately lived in area. So it's not the same as the Dvar Shmuel quite, but it's similar in the sense that it's only if it's very unpopulated that the Karpif will succeed in ruining the walls, but if it's more populated, then it will not succeed. The Rosh is an even bigger kula. The Rosh is saying even by a private chatzir that you wouldn't necessarily have the rule of a karpif. But the Dvar Shmuel is an extension of that. So in the article that Rosh Hechter has, and then the package, you have it in the back, so the way he quotes the Dvar Shmuel is that it was, the Chumrah was only said in a farm area, but not in a very populated area. So I just wanted to be Mitzayin. I was speaking to Rosh Hechter about this a few days, last week, that in the article he quotes the Dvar Shmuel as saying that in a populated area where the gardens are meant for the beautification of the city, so then it has no halacha of the karpif because it's called usage of the city. If you have a garden in the city, so the gardens are used to beautify the city. So I was speaking to Rav Shechter about this and went over the tshuva of the Dvar Shmuel, so he noted that specific line, that was the kula that Rav Moshe Feinstein had with respect to gardens in Central Park. But that specific line really was not the kula of the Dvar Shmuel, because the Dvar Shmuel in that shiva doesn't really mention the fact that those that little planted area had anything to do with beautification of the city. That is a kula as mentioned by other posts, by Rav Moshe in the context of Central Park, but it's not mentioned by the Dvar Shmuel himself. So again, the Be'er Halacha himself is very reluctant to rely on it, but he notes that the many did rely on it, and the Dvar Shmuel did say that, and the Chacham Tzvi gave it a little more weight by saying that even originally he felt it was wrong, but then he said that maybe it is kedai to be makel like that Dvar Shmuel. So that's a big kula for cities to allow karpifos not to destroy it
provided that the Karpif is not a majority of the city, I would assume. It would have to be only a minority of the city, even if it's more than a base of sign. But I'm speaking to Rav Shechter about this again. So if you use the kula beautification, so then what I'm about to say is irrelevant. If we're talking about a Karpif that's a garden, it's a flower, like let's say an area that's planted with flowers, etc. So if you're going with the kula that it beautifies the city, so even though people don't walk there, it's called a Karpif. Okay, so that's going to apply regardless. But if you don't go with that kula, or it's a different type of Karpif, let's say it's a Karpif of a forest area that's very dense, or it's a Karpif of a lake. Ramosha said it with respect to a man-made lake, too. If the lake was made in order to provide the scenery, so then that also wouldn't be a Karpif. But let's say it's not a man-made lake. It wasn't made for purpose of education in the city. So let's say it's really a problem with a Karpif. So can you rely on this Drash Mul or not? So I mentioned the Svarat Rav Shechter, and as I'll say it again, he didn't say it was wrong. That what's the cooler of Dvar Shmuel? Because the wall was made to protect hundreds of homes, so a little patch relative to the city can't ruin it. But in most cases of cities with karpifos in it, you're not talking about cities with walls around it. You're not even talking about cities with fences around it. You're talking about cities that for the purpose of being matit tiltel, we put up Erev wires. So those Erev wires are going to have the cooler of Dvar Shmuel, that the Karpif is not going to be strong enough to mevatel those Erev wires. I'm not focusing on the fact that the Erev wires are skinny. I'm focusing on the fact that the Erev wires were not built to serve the city. They were built in order to be matzi tiltel. So I don't know if this whole cooler would apply in the contemporary settings. So I can mention that for further research. But I think in many contemporary Erevin, they rely on the Dvar Shmuel even with Erev wires. So I just throw that out as a tzorachim. Yes.
Can you carry in the carpet also?
Okay, so that's a good question. Because the clock is moving. I'll speak about it privately with you. Suffice to say the following. I also spoke to Rav Shechter about this at length. This was the Chazon Ish writes that the way to fix the carpet is by blocking it off. You make a fence around it, a source of pesach around it. And if you, that Be'er Halacha that quotes the Dvar Shmuel seems to say that if you do that, in this case, it makes it worse. And that's the way that even the Dvar Shmuel wouldn't allow it then. And that's what Rav Shechter quotes in the article too. That's what it sounds like the Be'er Halacha is saying. Those are the words. But if you do a little more Ian, I hope I did the right Ian. So you look in the Dvar Shmuel and all the sources that the Be'er Halacha quotes, the Mor Tzvi, and put it together all in the Mishnah Berurah, it cannot possibly be that that's what he means. Because otherwise the Mishnah Berurah sells himself. The Mishnah Berurah also quotes that Eitz again and again. Take, for example, the Mishnah Berurah writes that if you have a chaser, and inside the chaser is a lake, and that lake has natural walls around it. Okay, so you saved your whole chaser. The Mishnah Berurah writes that elsewhere. I think it's on the Maamar Makomos. So those walls block off the garden. So it's clear the Mishnah Berurah holds that it works. So what does the Mishnah Berurah mean by those mysterious lines? That has something to do with your question. So, but that we'll leave it at that. So, lahalacha, we certainly would rely on the Chazon Ish, even if you would be machmir for the Dvar Shmuel, to block off a Karpif area with either a Tzuras of Pesach or independent walls, so that it doesn't become nifrat l'makom ha'asalo, or it breaks the connection to the city, so it shouldn't become a rove of the city. Okay, that's in terms of the Karpif itself. Now, a little bit about how to correct the Karpif. So, yeah.
When does something switch over to become
right, so that's what I want to discuss now. So in the classic case, what you have is, there is no classic case. One case is where you have a city that the walls were made for Dira, but you have a Karpif that messes you up. So if it's a Karpif that's more than a base of Siam and you have a problem of Nifrat Samokam Asalo, so you could follow the Chazon Ish's Eitz and box it off. If it's a roll over the city, so presumably you could also box it off. But you have another scenario where boxing it off is going to be insufficient. And that is where the walls were initially made when there were no homes there. Or the walls were initially made when it was a storage area, and then you put homes there. So it's not enough just to put the homes there, because the walls were still put up originally l'shem karpif. So you basically have to redo the walls. So the hard way is destroy all the walls, put them back up again. The Mishnah Berurah has the Shulchan Aruch has easier eitzes. So one eitzah is to knock down a section that's more than 10 amos. So you create a pirtz of more than 10 amos and rebuild it. One eitzah is the eitzah of the Rosh, that you build an inner wall that's more than 10 amos, more than three
tfachim,
or more than four tfachim away,
right.
More than 10 amos away, that would, so again,
not more than 10 amos.
Again, one
eitzah
is you break more than right. 10 amos and you rebuild the wall. One eighth says you leave the whole wall, but you build a more than 10 amma wall inside
the
of it.
The width is 10 amas, but it can't be front.
Right, correct.
10 amas.
It has to be 10 amas or less or away, or less. And the way that's supposed to work is that when you're going that way, you bump into this wall first. So it's as if that wall's not there.
It can't be too close to the previous wall.
It can't be too close to the previous wall, otherwise it will become nullified to it. Right, so that's in the Shulchan Aruch, I think it says... that it should be more than it should be three tefachim away or more,
right.
And if she has to go in a position that it should be more than four tefachim away, based on a position in the Gemara. And then Rashi just noted that this case of fixing the karpuf has a fascinating extra insight into it, because the way this works is because you view it as if this wall were not there. That's the way it works. So, and then the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha writes, so since you view it as if the wall is not there, you got to make sure that this pirtza is not more than 10 amos, otherwise it will be a pirtza. So that means something very funny. That means I have a case like this, and I have something like that, and that's considered a wall. And we don't consider that to be pirtza b'keren zavis, which is something that comes up in the Shurim and also later. But that's what you see from the Be'er Halacha, that pirtza b'keren zavis doesn't mean that everything has to be a totally straight line. It means that minimally, that the corners can't be off, and maybe it could mean something else too. That's what's relevant to the Eruv here that they built, in terms of how exactly to define a keren zavis. So that Be'er Halacha starts off by teaching us that it doesn't have to be perfectly straight in order to qualify as not a Karen Zavis. It could, as long as it's going basically straight. That's the way our chef to put it. As long as it's going basically straight. So that's going basically straight. It's in the same direction. Okay. Oh, because the walls original. Now there are homes there. We're talking about an area where the reason it was a karpif is a residual karpif. It was a karpif, but now there are homes everywhere. But the walls are still puzzled because they were built built for a carpet. So it's a makom shelo hukaf ladira. So then you gotta destroy the wall. So one way to destroy the wall is destroy the wall, and more than 10 amos. And the other way to destroy the wall is make believe destroy the wall by building a wall 10 amos away.
And it has to be 10 amos long?
More than 10 amos long. The reason why the difference is because it can't be more than 10 amos away from it, because otherwise you'll have yourself a pirtza on the sides. And it has to be more than 10 amos wide, because you have to succeed in posseling up the previous wall. And the way to possle up the previous wall is by having more than 10 amos, because only a pirtza of more than 10 amos is a problem. Right, so that section is considered like a breach in the previous wall of more than 10 amos, and now you have that wall to make up the difference, so it's considered, now it's considered hukaf ladira. Yeah.
You only have the new part of that wall that you rebuilt.
Yeah.
How does that count to go all the way around?
Yeah, so that's the halacha of hukaf ladira. That's enough to ruin the wall enough so that had you not had your wall, which now is hukaf ladira, then it wouldn't be a Rishus Yachid anymore. Right? The case is you built these walls all around it and it was a storage area. Now you build homes in there. So now in order to make those walls look a Fladira, I gotta rebuild all the walls. But I don't have to rebuild all the walls. All you do is make the old walls puzzle and then rebuild them. So the simple way to break more than 10 amos and rebuild it. The Rosh says that even if you don't break the wall, you leave this wall here, if you build another wall here, so this becomes like the wall of that section. And since it's more than 10 amos, so you have a significant portion of the wall that is hukaf ladira and is necessary for your area, so that solves the problem also. Okay, that's in terms of fixing a karpif, both in terms of boxing off the area that is a place that people don't walk on, or in terms of if there is no problem of people not walking on anymore because it's all homes now, but you want to correct the original walls that were made for purposes of non-dira. Yes?
Another way to correct it also was to bring dirt to it in order to make the wall less than...
Right. Yeah, right. Was that on the Maromokomos, that Eitzah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So another eitzah is to put a mound of dirt next to the wall, but the mound of dirt has to be at least 4 tefachim wide, is it?
Yes, it is.
Because otherwise it'll be nullified to the wall.
And also there's a mound.
And you have to be able to stand in it, because right. By putting the dirt there, so that dirt serves to nullify the effectiveness of the other wall. And then you take the dirt away eventually, and then the...
Right.
So those are the types of details. Just people were asking for rule of thumb that usually I won't ask them. No, thank you for telling me. People ask me for like a gauge of which things to focus on, which not. But no, I'm happy you told me. Yeah.
The dirt next to the wall, you said? Yeah,
next to the wall, yeah.
How does that mean?
Because the way that works, very, very briefly, is you have the old walls, and then you put the dirt, more than 10 amas worth of dirt, next to the wall, and it's 10 tefachim tall. So I ruined the old wall, because now I could hop onto that dirt wall and then hop over that wall. So I ruined the effectiveness of this wall. And once I'm avatal that for one Shabbos and many Shabbos, and then I take away the dirt, so presto magico, now I have a new wall.
I have to climb over the dirt in order to get on top of the dirt.
Right, I think so.
So you're saying that your dirt makes new ground level?
It allows me to take away the effectiveness of the original wall by virtue of the fact that I could hop on my dirt mound and then get over the other wall. A wall is supposed to block you from getting through. I think in terms of the Yud Tefachim, I think the way it has to work is as follows. It has to be high enough so that there's not Yud Tefachim left of the old wall above the mound. And the reason that is because we mentioned in last week's Chabura that something less than Yud Tefachim is considered traversable. So I don't think it's that the mound has to be 10 tefachim. I think it's that the dirt has to be high enough so that you don't have yud tefachim of the old wall jutting up. Once you don't have yud tefachim of the old wall jutting up, then al pi halacha, you're able to get over that. So that succeeds in ruining the wall.
The only thing, I guess we have the issue with sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim high, and then you build
okay.
The wall.
Okay, let's leave that.
You can look at it, it extends the ground up, and then that old fence is no longer 10 tefachim high.
Okay. Good. That's all. It extends the ground up so the fence is not 10 tefachim tall, so it's not considered a fence anymore. Okay. There's an interesting application of karpif that if you have a city on a natural plateau, and the natural plateau is more than a base of sign. So if you build a wall around the city or an area around the city, okay, so those are walls that were built to shame Dira, so you have no problem. But if you want to count the natural walls, so then the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Gimel writes that a tail that's 10 tefachim tall, if it's more than a base of Sayim, so then you'll have a problem of a karpif shelo kafadira, because those walls were originally built when no one was living there. Those walls were really originally built when no one was living there. So now if you want those walls to function for livability, so you're going to have to make some kind of tikkun. So what are you going to do? Blast away more than 10 amas to the mountainside and then rebuild it. So there's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah on this. In the Mishnah Berurah here, it seems to indicate that all you have to do is follow the Rosh's Eitzah, build a more than 10 amas fence, more than 3 tefachim away from the edge of the plateau. So part of the area is hukah fadira, and that's enough. But the Mishnah Berurah elsewhere, at the end, I think of Shimon Shin Samach Gimel, he said that's not going to work. You got to build a fence around the whole town. So I think the Chazon Ish notes this problem, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know how he deals with it, but there seems to be a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't know how often that comes up in terms of plateaus on all four sides, but if it would be, so you could have an easy area if you have a difficult area. So you have to navigate to that steer. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah then continues, the Shulchan Aruch continues in terms of spelling out what kinds of things are considered not ladira, that either will ruin the rest of the city because of nifrats, or ruin the city because of rov. So you have water, you have plants, and you have trees. So the general rule is, it has to be more than a base of sayim, otherwise when they talk about, more than a base of sayim or rov of the city. And if it's royim, that's true. If it's trees, so trees generally will not be mevatal ladira, because there are suyos with sale. Rav Shechter mentioned the Chabur that if the trees are very tight together, it's a very thick forest, that'll also ruin it. But generally, trees will not ruin the Dira, because people could walk through. I throw out also as an open question, I know I should be answering more, but what could I do? I have a lot of Sarchians. So in the Nesiva Shabbos, so the Chazanish is quoted as saying that any area that people don't walk on is called the Karpath. So if you have a large Erev, and that Erev carries in it like a forest area, the forest area is not so thick. You could walk through it if you want, but no one goes there. No one would dream of going there. So that's Lehuk of Adira, because nobody lives there, nobody walks through it. I was speaking to Reshecht about this last year, and he thought it has more formal halachas. If you can get through, even the fact that people don't actually walk through is not necessarily a problem. If you have plants or you have farmland, so people are not going to walk through for a reason because they don't want to walk on the plants. So if you have freshly planted grass, people are not going to walk through for a reason, like Rav Rubenstein and Karen Biavna told us normally to have signs, please keep off the grass. So he told us, Rabotai, Ana Lidros al Ha'esef, because they just planted a nice area of grass, which was more than a base of sayim, so he wanted to make sure it wasn't a carpet and ruin the Erev, so he told us to walk on the grass. Halachic lawns. But if you wouldn't walk on it, there's a reason why you're not walking on it. But let's say it's an area, there's no reason you're not walking on it, it's just not part of the dwelled area. So the Chazan Shin says that has a lach of a carpus, and you have to worry about that. And Rav Shechter seems to say not that way. So I throw that out also for further study. So again, what's recorded in Shulchan Aruch is that Zroyim Amavatal Dedira, provided it's more than a base of Sayim or Rove of the city, even if it's not a base of Sayim, but together with the rest of the city, it's more than a base of Sayim. The trees generally are not Mavatal, and water is only Mavatal if it's not used for the city. So if the water is used to drink or to do laundry, or Moshe extends it for beautification, it was made specifically for that. So that's a chiddush, but that's not recorded in Shulchan Aruch, but that's what he extends it there as well. And then there are different days as to how deep the water has to be in order for it to be a problem. The Mechaber quotes 10 tzvachim, the Be'er Halacha, which Rav Shechtman ordered in the Shir, quotes other days as 3 tzvachim, and the Chazanish quotes that if people don't walk there, so it doesn't matter how deep it is, as long as it's not walkable, so then it would be a problem. We note again that the Mishnah wrote that if the river bank is very steep, so it provides a wall of Yud-Tvachim, or, and this is something that we neglected to mention last week, so I'll briefly review it now, it comes up, the river bank comes in many area, other areas too. If the river bank is sloped, and here's the river bank and here's the water, if the river bank is sloped such that it reaches a height of 10 Tvachim, by the time you walk Dalet Amos, that's called Mislake Yud-Tvachim Mitoch Dalet Amos, that by the time you walk 4 Amos over here, so it's already Yud-Tvachim above the ground, or going the other direction, just walking, going down that way, by the time you walk 4 Amos, so that's also called a wall, even if it's not solid. And the basic rule is, it has to be lo noach lihiluch. If it's a very gradual incline, such that you can easily walk it, so that's called flat in halacha, it's not called a wall. But if it's more than that, so that's that shear that the Chazal gives, that if it's more than a 22 or 24 degree angle, that's 4 tefachim, 10 tefachim high, an area of walking 4 amos, so that's already considered too steep for comfort, and that's what that's considered a wall. So that comes up here too, that if the water is surrounded by such a natural wall, then that will block off the water from the rest of the city, so you wouldn't be able to carry into the water, but it wouldn't ruin the rest of the city, the rest of the area. It comes up in hotels. Just Shabbatonim, sometimes you have an Erev, you put up a quick Erev and you have a lake. So what do you do with that lake? So if it was man-made, so maybe you could line Ramosh's Moshe's cooler, but if it's not a man-made lake, so it could be a problem with carpet, depending on its dimensions. So either you could follow Chazanish and box it off, or I don't know if this Rashmul is going to apply here. It's just a little hotel, it's not a massive city. And if you have a slope, then that would solve the problem without it. Or if people use the water. Maybe you can make a case field boat on it. I don't know. I don't know the extent of Dira. Rav Shechter told me he thought a tennis court was called Dira. Came up in Bungalow Colony. Tennis court had the dimensions of a carpet. So you have to worry about that. Most of the time you won't have to because it's boxed off. But let's say it's not. So is that a carpet? So Rav Shechter told me that that's sports. That's part of Dira. So maybe boats are also part of Dira. You have to test the waters here, pardon the pun, in terms of how far Dira goes. The Shulchan Aruch gives the example of water and laundry. I don't know if it was so common to recreationally boat, so you can't necessarily bring a ride from that. Okay, so that's Shin and Ches. One second. We did most of the Biurei Halacha. One final one is the Biurei Halacha has a suffix. It can come up. Let's say you're being machma against the Dvar Shmuel, like the standard reading of the Shulchan Aruch. But right now, the area is not planted, and now people do walk through. When there are gardens there, when there's plantings there, people do not walk through. But now they will walk through because they're not there anymore. So do you say that the existence of the shrubbery there ruins it forever until you make a tikkun like the Rosh or some of the other things where you break the wall and redo the wall? Or that no, the shrubbery only ruins it as long as it's there? So he leaves that as somewhat as an open question, and he's no telahachmir. He's no telahachmir in that. That from the Rashba, I think that zroyim amavatel the walls forever until you fix the walls. So that's quite a chumrah. The Dvar Shmuel, parenthetically, that we quoted earlier, had one of the biggest schools in the world concerning carpet. So here he's machmir. He says, and don't tell me that area in Alexandria, there's no zera there now. So that's not a good kulis. Is it what it was there before? So then you would have had to do something with the wall, if not for the other kulis that he comes up with, that the walls can't be mispatel all day that. Okay. So that's the extent of Shin Nun Ches. Now we have much more, shall we say, less intensive simonim. Okay. P. Tikra is discussed in Shin Samach Aleph. And I think it was amply discussed in the Chaburis, and it's pretty straightforward. So just to save a little time, Shin Samach Aleph Siv Beis is very straightforward. Just to briefly review the details, you need an L, at least two walls that are the Arevan, we call this, right? That are an L shape rather than a parallel shape, and has to be four tvachim. The roof has to jut four tvachim out, and the roof has to be flat. And some amachmir that the roof has to be a tefach thick, like Rashi. Not Maker Adin, but some Amachim like that as well. Those are the basic rules of P. Tikra. So oftentimes it does not apply. The Mishnah Berurah earlier, in the end of Shin Mem Vav, I didn't mention this last week, he says that you see from here, Beferish, that many Balabatim, maybe Rabbanim too, are asking the question, what's the halacha of those roofs that jut out from the buildings? What's the status underneath? So he says, it's Carmelis, because it you're not talking about where there are walls that are jutting out. And so it has a lot of a karma. It has a roof. Doesn't allow you to say P'tikra. You need other conditions. Sometimes you can make it into Rosh Hashanah by putting Surah of Pesach on this side and on that side. But in and of itself, it's not going to be a karma. It's not going to be Rosh Hashanah. And you just, well, it's this case over here. Let's say here's the home and here's the roof. And then you have here a support beam for the roof. Still not enough. Because that's not a source of Pesach, because here you have a Konami Khan and here you have a building. There's no Konami Khan. Mm-hmm. So he says sometimes you could correct it. You could put a Konami Khan and make some kind of source of Pesach there. But if you don't put a Konami Khan, if you don't put it one near the building, just having this Kana is not going to make it into a source of Pesach. Okay, so that's Shin Samach Aleph. Shin Samach Beis again was widely traversed in the Chaburis. So only to try to focus on those things that are not directly mentioned. Natural walls are okay, not only in terms of natural mountains and things of that nature. Although you have to worry about the carpet issue if they're larger type of natural walls, or if they're more than one or three. But you could also use trees and shrubbery and bushes, provided they don't move in a ruach mitzuya, at least the branches of them, assuming that the branches are within three tvachim of each other and it's all connected with the leaves, etc. So if you could have what they call modern Hebrew, something like geder chai, I think they call it, where you have a shrubbery, so that could sometimes serve as a machitza for you. It's risky, because sometimes they'll move in a ruach mitzuya, sometimes it'll have to go down till less than three tvachim from the ground. Sometimes the shrubbery picks up four or five tvachim above the ground, and down below, the bushes are, they're not three tvachim next to each other, and the shrubbery, the greenery, does not go all the way down to less than three tvachim. So you got to be very careful when you use live plant walls. So it's probably better not to use them unless you make 100% sure they're good. Mechaber writes that if you're using trees and it moves in a ruach mitzuya, sometimes you'll have to tie them down. So practically speaking, it usually does not work, but there are cases where you should be able to use shrubbery for walls. There's a fascinating discussion about using human beings for walls, which I took off the Maror Mekomos due to its relative lack of applicability. Because most of the time it doesn't work, because it only works if it's b'shogeg, and they don't tell him about it, doesn't know, so we'll leave that. Okay, let's talk about pirtzos that ruin mechitza. So this is also discussed extensively in the Chaburis, and since I was confused about this a long time, So I'll maybe assume that some are as well. So just to spell this out precisely, there are two ways for a pirtza to be a problem. Actually, three ways for a pirtza to be a problem. One, if the pirtza is more than 10 amos, 10 or less is good. More than 10 amos is a problem. One is for the pirtza to have a halacha of paritz meruba al ha'omeid, that even if each pirtza is not more than 10 amos, but if all the openings are more than all the closed areas, that's paritz meruba al ha'omeid. And the other problem is osi avira dehaigisa udehaigisa mevatli mechitzta, which means, let's try, I hope to precisely define it, that if you have an omeid in the middle, let's say 5, and on the sides, on either side, you have pirtzos that are equal or greater than the omeid in the middle. So then you'll say, Asi avira dehaigisa dehaigisa mevatli mechitzta. So if you have, let's say, a 5 in the middle, and on this side you have a 5, and on that side you have a 5 or a 7, So those two aviros, either 10 or 12, mevatel the 5. But if you have a 5 omeid in the middle, and you have a 3 on this side, and a 7 on the other, so even though the 7 and the 3 is 10 is more than 5, but you don't get the first base because one of the sides is less than the omeid. So that's a very important kula, because otherwise osi avira is going to apply almost in any situation. So the rules are, it wasn't officially on the Mar Mukamos, but those who want to check this up, it took me a while to track down where this is. It's in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Lamed Dalid, parenthetically in a detail of a detail concerning a Mavui. But that's important for non-Mavos too, in any wall. That's where the halachas are discussed of Asi Avira. So again, you need two Aviros on both sides, and each of them have to be at least as equal to the one in the middle. Yeah, at least as wide as on the middle.
That's talking about each individual wall. You don't count the whole.
So I want to discuss that now. Okay, so how do you measure paritz meruba al omeid? So I didn't get a chance to be ma'ayin in this inside, but judging from previous chaburos, I don't know if it was discussed this year. Probably was. It's usually very basic material. Shecha goes through. The Aruch HaShulchan says you count all the walls and all the piritzes and all the omdim. So as long as you turn out ahead, you have more omeid, that's good. So that's not accepted. You have to count each wall. But how do you count each wall? Did Rav Sheikh discuss this too? Machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish? Did he discuss this in the Chaburos?
Not too much.
Not too much? No. Is that a Kedai review? I don't want to take up extra time if it's already known. Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go quickly. The Chazon Ish says you count up all the pirtzes and all the omdim. So if this is 10, and this is 5, and this is 7, and this is 9, and this is 20, and this is 5, and this is 3, so all of the omdim at 10, 5 is 22 and 31, and all the 16, 21, 31, and all the pirtzes are 28. So you're okay. Okay? Because you have 31 versus 28, and you have no asi aviras over here. Okay, good. Let's say this is 7. So then I just added 4 more. So you have 9 plus 7 is 16, 21, 31 versus 32. So, we lose. No good. You gotta stuff up some more walls here in order that it shouldn't be part of the Lomit. So the Mishnah Berurah has a greater kula than the Chazon Ish. And he says, all you gotta do is win little battles, and then you're ready one, and now you present the united front for the rest. Let's start off over here.
Let me fudge a little bit, make this into 4. It's still okay, because otherwise you're gonna have an Asi Avira problem.
Okay. So now, 5 remains. 10 remains. 10 plus 5 is 15, beats out little dinky little 7 over here. So now we have 22. This becomes 22. Then 9 and 7 is 16, so it doesn't beat out 20, so that didn't win. 22 and 7 is more than 4, so we win there as well. So now you have a wall that's 33. This whole thing over here is considered 33. 33 plus 9 is greater than 20. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you take each, as long as you don't have an Asi Avira problem, so you take the two sides of the Avir, and you see whether it's more than the Avir in the middle, and then if that wins, then you could view it as if it's solid wall, and then you could view that whole number to beat up the next Avir. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, you'd have less cases when you'd have a problem of Pirtza, of a Parthur Al-Omid,
The Chazon Ish says that's too much of a kula, and going back to the Rishonim, he feels that's not what the Rishonim intended. So you have to count all the pirtzis and all of the omdim of each wall. The Sharatzian notes that there are Rishonim are even more machmer than that, who say that you could only count one avir. You can never gang up with two avirim on any avir in the middle. Each omeh has to be meruba than the parrot that's immediately adjacent to it. Or maybe one of the sides has to be more than it. But you can't like combine a 5 and a 5 to beat out a 7. That he quotes, I think, from the Rashba that way. But the Sharatin, right, we don't paskin that way. We paskin, you can join two sides. But not like the Mishnah Berurah said, that you join two sides and then you view it as if that whole thing is solid wall and then go further. Okay, so that's spelled out in the Mishnah Berurah, right on, in the obvious place where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the parts and Ruvel Omeh together with the Sharatin. No, because the Asevira will because the Asevira will go the other way. The Asevira is going to, I think, I'm pretty certain, that the Asevira is going to go the other way and take that omeid and make it into a parrot. And now you have a problem.
Which do you do first?
I think you do Asevira first. I can't be sure, but I think you do Asevira first. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
Why should it be
Mavatel? It should be Mavatel the 7 because of Asi Avira?
Yes,
that's right. You're right. You need Yishav Adas to work out a scenario that works perfectly. So okay. Let's just theoretically, if you didn't have a problem, Pirsi Yasim Yasser, but that's correct. The Mishnah Berurah, I should have just copied it on the paper. My apologies, but you are correct. The 20 is going to ruin it because of Pirsi Yasmi Yasser. Thank you. Okay, so that's and then in Sif Yud and Yud Aleph, the Be'er Halacha spells out all the details of Tzoras of Pesach, which was one or two shiurim. So again, to review the Mishnah Berurah inside, maybe just to highlight one or two additional points, but it's pretty straightforward. I just wanted to review the machlokas in the Rambam and the other Rishonim about the effectiveness of the Tzoras of Pesach. The Rambam holds that the Tzoras of Pesach could only be effective on the fourth wall, no matter how big it is. Rav Shechter notes that it would have to be subject to the Yechol Lahamid Dela Shalkash rule. It can't be so wide, because otherwise it wouldn't be able to support a door, even a door of kash that would go from end to end. But there's no shear of 10 amas, 20 amas, or 30 amas. And something of interest, I don't know if Shechter mentioned that, if you put a konami kan and you nail it to, let's say, a telephone pole, even though the telephone pole itself is not helping you in terms of the Tzuras of Pesach, because the wires are going min hatzad. So you're putting in right, you see the...
A lot of times you have telephone poles where the wires go on the side. So what you're going to do a lot of times is you'll create another kane and you'll nail it to the telephone pole, so that should be directly under the wire, right? So then you'll have another telephone pole just like it. So the Mishnah Berurah points out in Simin Shin Samach Gimel that you could count the telephone pole as part of the kane with respect to being Ma'amid Adela Shalkash. Right here, you have a skinny little piece of wood that's under the wire. And then they have another telephone pole that the wire goes on the side, and you put another con over here to be right under the wire. So this skinny little piece of wood is not going to hold the Dela Shalkash anywhere. But since it's nailed to a telephone pole, so you consider that as like one joint con for purposes of being mounted to Dela Shalkash. So that's the cool in terms of how wide your Tzuras of Pesach could be.
Okay, so again, the Rambam holds that you can make a Tzoras Pesach on the fourth wall, and you could also make a Tzoras Pesach on the other walls to fill in pirtzos that are more than 10. But you cannot make Tzoras Pesach to fill in parrots meruba al ha'omeids. You could fill in the pirtzos that are more than 10, but if it's parrots meruba al ha'omeid, so then the Tzoras Pesach is not going to help you. The question on that, and other Rishonim say it always works. There's one detail, you could have four poles and have four wires, and then it's fine, as long as it's able to be Ma'amid Dela Shalkash, you're okay. There's one detail that in a valley it doesn't work. That's what Ephraim was pointing out based on that Shin Samach, right? That we had a discussion. You have to say that way, otherwise the Gemara doesn't work out. But in a valley, the Rishonim will agree that four Tzuras of Pesachs, one on each side, would not work. A technical halacha. But the Rambam holds it's much worse than that. It only works on the fourth wall or to fill in gaps of Pirtzei Yesmi Yeser, but not for Paritz Merubal Omi. So that's what sometimes is called a Sfardi Erev. One aspect of a Sfardi Erev that it has to have more fences, and the Tzuras Pesach can only fill in gaps, but not really to be so significant. Most Erevin rely on Tzuras Pesach, and Tzuras Pesach, and Tzuras Pesach, and they're not Machmir Vidis Rambam. The Mechaber does not quote the Rambam as the first day, so it assumes the other position is the Ikar Adin. The Mishnah Berurah recommends to be Machmir for the Rambam, because other Rishonim hold like him, but strictly speaking, it seems that it was accepted against the Rambam. There's a question whether the Rambam would agree that if you put Tzuras of Pesach less than 10 Amos apart, one Tzuras of Pesach less than 10 Amos apart, another Tzuras of Pesach less than 10 Amos apart, another Tzuras of Pesach less than 10 Amos apart. So you have no Pirtza, there's no Pirtza Merubal Omeid, but if you didn't have the Tzuras of Pesach, then you have nothing. So I think the Chazanish says that's no good. It's like Kal v'chomer, it sure doesn't work. And I think the Chassam Sofer is quoted that the Rambam would agree that that's good. So that's Machlok, because within the Das Rambam. Can that work if you have Tzuras of Pesach each less than 10 Amos apart? Okay, the issues of Tzuras of Pesach going through and Tzuras of Pesach being near the top, that's the Shitas HaTaz, and something dividing between the Tzuras of Pesach on top and the Kana Al Gabo and the Kana Lamata, it was all discussed in the Shiurim and it's also in the Mishnah Berurah. So just to save a little time, I think we'll have to gloss over that. But make sure to spend some time on this, especially if you didn't get it from the Chaburis. Shin Samach Bey, Sif Yud, and Yud Aleph, with the Mishnah Berurah, is a lot of very important details concerning Tzuras HaPesach.
Is that Chazanim, like the string goes through Chazanim from the top?
Right, the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir, right, that it doesn't work, and the Chazanim says it is good, that Tachov is for sure good, because you ignore the part on top. Right? And if it goes through, the Mishnah Berurah says it's no good, the Chazanim says it is good, because you ignore the part on top, so it is called Al Gabo. Okay. Shin Samach Gimel, it's entitled Din Mavoi Velechi. So, excuse me, we'll start with the Ramah in Siv Chavov that basically undoes this whole simon. No, a lot of the simon. And Medina de Gemara, if you have a three-walled Mavoi or a three-walled Chotzer, so the Be'er Halacha writes at the beginning that some Rishonim treat that as a Rishus V'yachid D'Oraisa, which is the majority of the Rishonim. Some Rishonim treat that as a Carmelist D'Oraisa or a Makom Tor Min HaTorah, which is the Shitas HaRambam, and which is quoted by the Be'er Halacha, those quoted in the Chaburis. So since Min HaTorah it's Mutter B'Tiltul anyway, so the Chachamim were makel to make a tikkun on the Ruach Revius, which doesn't have to be a total Satima. You don't need a Tzuras HaPesach necessarily, or you don't need a solid wall. But there are many details about when a Lechi, which is just a standalone beam near the wall, will work, or when a Korah, a beam from wall to wall, will work, and when you need a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Ramah and Siv Chavav says that partially because of that consideration, and partially because we're not exactly sure which of our areas are Mavos and which are Chatzeros, that all of our areas probably have a Lech of a Chotzer, and a Chotzer is more Chomer than a Mavui. A Chotzer doesn't work just to have a Lechi or to have a Korah. So that's why the minig is to always have Tzuras HaPesach even on the fourth wall. Always have Tzuras HaPesach even on the fourth wall, because then that's a safety. They make sure that it's for sure good. So the Mishnah Berurah points out an interesting kula, that if you have an area in your Eruv and one wire falls down, but the area where that one wire fell down is a gap of 10 Amos or less. So why did you put up the Tzuras HaPesach there to start off with? Safety reasons, just in case another one falls down. So sometimes you'll have an automatic kula because there'll be a gap of less than 10 Amos. But even if that gap fills up the whole area, let's say you have an Erev where the entire fourth wall has a Tzuras HaPesach from wall to wall, but the entire fourth wall is not so wide, all it is 10 Amos wide, it's not more than 10 Amos. So then you can go by the Ikar Adin. If the Erev wire falls down on Shabbos, well, the Ikar Adin is that if you have an area that's, even if it's covered from below, it's all open. So even though, I should have mentioned that earlier, even though it's not a pirtza of more than 10 amos, but it's no good because it's the whole opening. But you still have a kana mikan and a kana mikan.
And without going into the detail, that's enough to be matir, either a chatzir or a mabui. So sometimes it's important to know these halachas. If a wire falls down in the Erev, to know what's good meikaradin and what's just that chumras ramah
to always throw in Surah Sepesach. It's usually not going to help you, because most of the time an Erev wire falls down, it's part of a series of Erev wires. But once in a while it could. So that's one reason to learn this simon a little better. Okay, yes. Yeah, a kaneh, I mean just the kaneh mikan, just the side beams, which also is referred to as a lechi. And a Surah Sepesach is the kaneh mikan, and the kaneh al gabayim. So for the Surah Sepesach, you need the kaneh al gabayim. If you're not worrying about a Surah Sepesach, you don't need the kaneh al gabayim. So when you could do without a Surah Sepesach, there are masros and chumras that we always have a Surah Sepesach. But if the air wire falls down, it's important to know the ikar din. So that's technically the rule of a chatzir is that if the pirt says 10 amos or less, then you could have a kana mikan and a kana mikan. What's called a pas mash, a pas tefach mikan, a pas tefach mikan, and the Mishnah points out, I think, that it doesn't even have to be a tefach. Okay, so that's the Ramah and Simon in Sifchavov. On that Ramah and Sifchavov, it's important to see the Mishnah Brura, because tucked away on that Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Berurah quotes many of the other details of Surah Sepesach that he left out for some reason from Simon Shin the Klali Mechitzos, Shin Samach Beis. So I don't know why he divided some there. It depends where the Nosei Kalim mentioned it. So it's important to see that the Mishnah Berurah is outlined on the sheet. Okay, but most of those details were discussed in the Chaburah, so we're not going to review those now. Okay. This is a unit that was mentioned in Shir, and I just want to put it all together to try to conceptualize. It's easy to remember this way. Everyone,
everyone agrees that Surah Sepesach shares in common a certain structurality with a lechi, but simply speaking, it's a totally different animal. Surah Sepesach has a beam, which is called a lechi, it will be a standalone, and it has another beam, it's called a lechi, it will be a standalone, and a beam or a wire on top. So simply speaking, once you make a Surah Sepesach, that has a halacha of solid wall, and it has all the halachas of solid walls. So if you want to know all the details of when a Surah Sepesach works, just see when solid wall works, and then Surah Sepesach should work. So, but many achronim in different areas, they point out that a Surah Sepesach is a lechi plus. So it has to have all the chumras of lechi, plus it has to be better. So some of the air, and these are disputes that come up throughout this simon. Some of them in the previous simon, in the Klali Mechitzos, simon Shin Samach Beis, and some over here. So I just want to list off some of those highlights, and each of them is a dispute amongst the Achronim as follows. Sometimes you use a Surah Sepesach, one after another, one after another, one after another. So then the following is irrelevant to that discussion. But sometimes you'll have a Surah Sepesach to fill in a gap between buildings. You have one bungalow. Common way to make an air around the bungalow colony is to use the walls of the bungalows. Rav Shechter killed all the air in bungalow colonies.
Not right.
Because of Chori Habayis, a lot of times the back of the house is touching the ground, and the front of the house is on stilts. So according to Rav Shechter, you can't count the back of the house because it's Silas Mechitzis, and you can't count the front of the house because it's on stilts. Alright, but let's say all the bungalows are firmly on the ground, or they have concrete and cement blocks, so you can either go in the front or the back. So all you need is Surah Sepesach to go from house to house to house to house and fill in all the gaps, and then you have yourself an easily made Erev with minimal expense. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and this is in the earliest in the Shin Samach Beis, that if there's a greater gap, greater than three tzvachim, between the kana mikan, the side kana of the Surah Sepesach, and the wall of the house, that's no good. Why is it no good? It's the Surah Sepesach of Mechitza, so we have all the rules of Mechitza. It's Omeid, Merubah Leparetz, there's no Pirtz of Yesem Yeser, and it's not open totally, so why should it be no good? But the Bechor Shar is quoted as saying that we view a Surah Sepesach as a Lechi plus, and that's one of the halachas of a Lechi, that a Lechi has to be within three tzvachim of the wall of the Mavui. Right, in the classic case of a Mavui, so theoretically, it could have been matir, the fourth wall, with just a lechi. That lechi has to be within three tefachim of the wall. So you could put it here if there's no three tefach gap. If you can't put it in the middle, if there's going to be a three tefach gap. So the Bechor Shor says that a Surah Sepesach is a lechi plus. So it has to be within three tefachim of the wall.
That's chomer number one, carrying it over from lechi. And other achronim say it's not a lechi, it's towards a pesach. Chomer number two is omed me'elov. A lechi can be omed me'elov, but in other words, you didn't specifically designate it as a lechi. You didn't go to Home Depot and buy a four-wing strip or 2x4 to put up as a lechi. It was there already. It was omed me'elov. It was part of the binyan, or it was a judge, something jutting out from the binyan. Someone put it there for some other reason. But you have to be so mechalav yibodjom. On Friday, you have to have in mind that I'm going to use that to be matir. If you discover on Shabbos that it happens to be there, it's no good for that Shabbos. You got to wait till next Shabbos. So what about Suras of Pesach? So the Be'er Halacha and Simen Shin Samach Gimel raises that issue, and it's be a sod. L'chor is a similar type idea. Should we say that a Suras of Pesach omed me'elov is halacha of a mechitza omed me'elov, which is certainly good? We use that all the time, at least on summer walls. You can use natural walls. You can use seabed walls. It's omed me'elov. Or does it have halacha of a lechi? You have to be so mechalav in vo'odyom. So the Mishnah Be'er Halacha quotes the Prima Gadim was mistapik on it. That's one of the issues involved in using telegraph poles or telephone wires, even if the wire goes on top of the telephone pole. But it's omen me'elov, it wasn't put up to be a tzuras pesach. So the simple halacha would be that there's no problem. And even if it is a problem, just be somech alovim bo'odyom. Right? Just have it in mind that that'll be the eruv. I think there was some achron and the Mishnah alludes to a machmir even in that case. I'm not sure what the logic behind it is. So that's rule number two that might carry over from lechi. Rule number three that certainly does carry over from lechi, l'chuli alma, is the fact that it has to be omed beruach mitzuya. The halacha is that a lechi can't sway in the wind, so a tzuras pesach also cannot sway in the wind. And that's what the Mishnah quotes in Shin Samach Beis, that the machtes ha-shekel allowed the wire on top to sway in the wind. But the Mishnah Yaakov did not even allow that. So that's it's a big chumrah, but maybe it's Mekar Adin, because if that's part of the surah, it can't really sway in the wind. But that's carried off from Lechi, and that everyone agrees is carried off from Lechi.
Do you also agree that it has to be there, too? A lot of times in Surah of Pesach, that the thing on top has to be there?
Yeah.
You make the Surah of Pesach, right?
Okay.
Okay, so Mishnah Yaakov's machmer that it has to be like the Surah of Pesach with a door exactly.
Oh, you mean that it has... Oh, you mean... Oh, okay, they have the inchi, it shouldn't be slanted, etc.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's all the shitasa. And then the final carryover, which Rav Shechter mentioned, is some achronim amachmer that a lechi should be an etzba wide. The Mordechai holds that it has to be an etzba wide. So some amachmer that a tzuras pesach should also be an etzba wide. But have a nafkamina, sometimes they use these skinny little wires that to snake up a telephone pole to hook up with a phone, or the phone wires, which would be right on top. So if you're machmer for that chumrah, I don't think it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, but if you're machmer for that for a lechi, then it might carry over to a Tzuras Pesach. So those are some of the issues that carry over from a lechi, possibly. All of these things are subject to debate.
Could the Omid Baruch Mitzvah, is that responsible for telephone wires, since like with the winds, they sometimes
able to
move
behind
it?
Yeah. Depends how machmer you are on this. Some are machmir only if it sways wildly, some are machmir if it sways within three tvachim. The difference, the Chazanish was one of the Mekilim on this. He held it can't sway totally, but if it's a little bit of a jiggle within three tvachim, it's still within the radius of the Kanes, I think he was making on it. I think so. Okay, but we're running quickly out of time. Just spend the 5 minutes going over some of the highlights of the material we didn't do. One of the chumras that exists between the difference in let me do it in order. There's one concept which is a complicated halacha, but the concept is a very straightforward one. You have a mavui, let's say this is the flat ground of the mavui, viewing a side view, and it dips into a river on one side, and it gets elevated to a garbage dump on the other side. That's the case the Gemara had with a real large shayla. There was a mavui shetzido yechad yam betzido yechad ashpa. And the Gemara says the Rebbe was afraid to be mati, he was afraid to ask, he didn't say anything. And then it has a mysterious conclusion as to what the bottom line halacha is. The concept behind it is you have mechitzos. We have the mechitzos. So the mavui itself has a real wall over here, a solid wall that was made by human beings. Here it has a tail on the flakate, that's the garbage dump. Assuming the garbage is not removed, if the garbage is regularly removed, then you have to worry that on Shabbos you're going to lose your pizza. But if the garbage dump remains there, so provided it has the dimensions of the incline, you're okay. What are the dimensions again? Four tefachim.
Right.
Four tefachim tall within four amis.
Right.
And here you have a charitz, a descent. Right? This is a good example. That's why I didn't understand where Shaf Torah and Chacham Tzvi. The Gemara has this case. It's serif of many different types of walls. You have a gather on this side and the other side. You have a tail over here and you have a charitz on that side. You have a serif of all different types of walls. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the details that this has to be the proper slope. This has to be the proper slope. And he discusses what happens if this ices up, etc. There's a lot of details, but the main concept to remember here is that it has to be a slope here and a slope there. And then Rav Shefta quoted at the very end of the Chaburis that the Marit held that you don't even need a slope there. As long as you have water. Because you can't walk on water.
Oh,
right? At least in our religion. What?
The ghost thing coming underneath.
Not exactly, but just like you have halacha that a carmelist, you need some kind of tikkun. Because you might mistakenly go into the area outside of it. So here you don't need the tikkun, because you're not going to go into the area outside because there's water there. So that was a cool of the Maharid, but it's against Rashi, and it's against the Mishnah Berurah does not assume like that Maharid. Rashi holds that the only way this works is when you have a slope. And the Maharid quotes that it works even without the slope. So that's a cool that some relied on in Constantinople, and some wanted to apply it to Manhattan Erev. But Rav Shechter noted that A, number one, the Marit was outvoted by many, and number two, it only works on the fourth wall. It certainly can't work for all of Manhattan, it certainly can't work for a whole island. It's only going to work on the fourth wall, perhaps. But the Mishnah Berurah does not go that way. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that the Dava Pashit, that the water is only going to be good if you have a wall.
But what could this slope do?
What?
What could this slope do?
The slope serves as a wall, a Charitz type wall.
I mean, as opposed to saying it, it's gradual.
Right, has to have a right. Otherwise, if it's gradual, then it wouldn't. They wouldn't have. Then you wouldn't have a 10,000 wall. Okay. So far we discussed that you need a pirtza of more than 10 amos in order for something. One of the ways to mevatel a wall is to have a pirtza of more than 10 amos. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Simon Shin Samach Hey, that if you have a mavui. And it has a tikkun on the roof of Vias, let's say that's the source of Pesach. And then you have a gap of four tzvachim. I'm not sure if it's more than four tzvachim or four tzvachim, then I have to double check. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, so that ruins it. Ruins the mavui. Four tzvachim, very tiny. Why does it ruin it? Because how is the mavui fixed? By putting something on the fourth wall. But so people will know when they walk through the mavui. They're always going to pass through the source of Pesach and they'll realize they're not going to carry into the street. But if you have this little wall, if you have a gap over here, so people are going to walk around that way. And they're not going to walk it through the source of Pesach. They're not going to walk through the lechi, so they're not going to be reminded not to carry. So therefore, a four tefach gap is going to ruin the mavui. So that's a very good chumrah. How does that apply to contemporary Erevin? So we have to establish whether our Erevin have a halacha of a mavui, which has that chumrah. Or what has halach of a chotzer, which allows a pirtz of up to 10 amos. So the recall earlier that the Rama wrote that we always require tzuras of Pesach because we hold that all of our chotzer, all of our areas have halach of chotzer. So they don't have the coolest of a mavui. The question is, they don't have the coolest of a mavui. They have the chumras of a mavui, or they just don't have the coolest of a mavui. So that's this question right here. If you say that they have the halacha of a chotzer both lekula and lechumra, so then a four tefach gap will not be a problem. If you hold it has the halacha, the streets should be mavos. But the Rama says all of our streets are chatzeros. So is that only lechumra or even lekula? So that's this nafka mina. And your eruv, they have to make sure to fill in gaps of up to four tefachim. So Rav Shechter noted in the eruv here that they made here. They relied on the kula position that our streets have halacha v'chatzeros bein l'kula bein l'chumra because they have gaps that are more than four tefachim but they're 10 amos or less. So just even if you're being machmir, the Be'er Halacha points out that the only time you have to be machmir is if people walk through that gap. So let's say you have a bungalow colony in streets, it's not going to help you because here people are walking all over the place. But if you have a bungalow colony and you have a little gap in some little corner of the area that people are not really walking in anyway, they're not walking through that area. So a four tefach gap is not going to break your Erev, even if you're machmir. Because the only time the four tefach gap breaks your Erev is if people walk through, because what we mentioned earlier.
The only time it causes a problem is because we're worried that that gap is going to ruin the hecker of the fourth wall. Okay, we're out of time as the tape went off, so we'll stop here. There's one other halacha that is somewhat complex that I wanted to review. The rest is straightforward. You just go. It gets very sketchy after this. It's very a sif here, a sif there. It's mostly mechaber, and those that are not mechaber, it's only a very short bar halacha here and there, and most of them will mention the chaburis. So those who want to stay 5 minutes extra, I'll just explain somewhat of a complicated topic that comes up again and again in the Mishnah Berurah. Those who want to go, please go. So I'll try to describe it in 3 or 4 minutes. This comes up again and again. It's called a chater katan shenifrat b'chater gadol, or a chater gadol shenifrat, or a mavoi shenifrat b'chater, or vice versa. Basically, the tzura is always the same. It's just different culprits each time. You have an area that's surrounded by walls, and it has some kind of pierce in it. And then you have another area that's also surrounded by walls that goes into it. So, let's say this is what we call a chaser gadol, this is a chaser katan. So the question is, can I carry in here, can I carry in there, do I need an eruv from one to the other? So the basic rule is as follows. You start with this area, and you say, do I have enough walls to be matir this area? So, if this is a gap, if you have omeid merubah laporetz, and it's a gap of 10 amos or less, so this area is for sure matir. How could it be aser? It's not nifratz l'makom asalo, because there are mechitzas all around it. This area, though, simply speaking, is going to be problematic. Because this area is nifrat into this area. It's totally surrounded by walls, right? There are walls all over the place, but if this is owned by A and this is owned by B, so you need an Erev in order to carry from one to the other. Okay, that's the straightforward halacha. So now the Mechaber quotes the following details. Let's say these walls are not here and it's just a neat T. So then the halacha is as follows. This picture of A is like this. Right? If you just spoke about A, that's the way A looks. So we have halacha that these could serve either as lechis on the side, or whatever it is. It could serve as two lechis, or it could serve as two lechis for a chatzer, or one lechi for a mavui. Right? These could serve as lechis for A. So these things over here could serve as lechis for A. So if the walls are not jutting into B, so A is going to be mutter separately, because it's as if A has lechis around it. And even though we're machmir to put on source